We're doing the Chayei Adam. We're up to Klal Lamed Vav Halacha Hey. So we had learned that if you're going to eat something that's dipped in liquid, one of the seven liquids, so then you have to wash your hands, even though technically we don't do that. But a Yirei Shamayim should. So now he's going to go on to different foods that they used to fry in honey. So they had all kinds of things. Today we also have all kinds of sweets that they fry in honey. They sell you sesame seeds that they made into bars by gluing them together in honey. There are all kinds of things. So מיני מרקחת שמתגנים בדבש, נראה לי יש חילוק דים כאן, הדבש ועדיין הוא מעורב בשעבה. He wants to say a distinction. When do I look at the honey as something that will make the food? Whatever food I'm going to fry in the honey, when am I going to say that the honey makes it, that we treat the honey as a liquid, and then the honey makes it that the food that's fried in the honey was mukhshar lekabel tuma, it considers though came in contact with the liquid, and then I'd have to wash my hands before I eat that food, at least as a Yirei Shamayim. So in what instances? He says, I think we have to discern that if you purchase the honey when it's still mixed with the cone, it's still mixed with the wax, v'itichon minat ken kedei letagen bo, and then you got the honey out, you melted the honey out with that purpose in mind, to use the honey to fry in, in ken molam lo haya lav shem mashke, so you took it from the cone in order to make it into another food, so it never stood as a standalone liquid. You took it from one solid for the sake of combining it with another solid, frying the other solid and making it in solid form again. So then it never had a standalone that you wanted it as a liquid. So then, en tzrich netilat yadayim. He says, I think that under such circumstances, you would not have to wash your hands. So if you're going to buy those sesame seeds glued together with honey, so assuming that that's what they do, I don't know, maybe they buy their honey ready-made from a company that makes honey to be mass-produced. But let's assume you own honeycombs and you're going to take out the honey for the sake of making it into candies or whatever it is, that's the whole purpose of getting this honey out. So then he says you wouldn't have to wash for that. But if you buy honey from the honey manufacturers who are making med, they're making that famous European drink called med, an alternative to wine. They'd make this, I don't know, was it alcoholic? Yeah, okay. So they make this alcoholic beverage, which had honey and water and what else did it have in it? Hops and I don't know what else. So it was the beer alternative. It was the wine alternative. And it was what the paupers, the peasants drank. It's called mit. So v'yadoh shem atrin kdei lasot mashke. So then you know you're melting the honey, you're getting the honey out to make a liquid, to make a drink. So then, צריך נטילת ידיים, אף על גב שמתגן באוכל. Then, even though you will buy that honey and make it into solid form, you're going to fry something in it, and then you're going to have a food. So then, that's nonetheless, because it had a time when it was considered liquid, you would have to wash your hands before eating it. כן נראה לי. That's what I think. Even though the Magen Avraham said you don't, and the Taz said you do, and he quotes the Sefer in Menachos that says that being that something that's solidified isn't called a liquid, and there's a Tshuva Smarit, okay, so he says, but this is what I think. And then he goes off in his Nishmas Adam on a 2-page long explanation of why he thinks so. Okay, I don't think we should spend the time on that. I mean, we should, but not at this stage of the game. Halacha vav.
Rav, sorry, can you in one sentence repeat what you just said?
He says like this: If the honey was melted out of the wax. For the sake of staying in liquid form, you wanted to make a drink out of it. So then that honey makes the food mukhshar likabel tuma, and requires washing hands before eating that food if you'll make food with that honey. If the honey was always intended, from the time you took it out of the cone till you fried a food in it, that was the point. You own the honey, and you took it out, even though it had a few minutes, or maybe he'd even say it if it had a few days, where it did stand as a liquid, but you knew all along it was going from solid to solid. So then that doesn't count. And then it's considered like the solid, the food, was never mukshal likabel tuma. You wouldn't have to wash your hands before you ate it. Where is this nogea? Where is this relevant? If you're going to eat dry cereal, you want to eat honey nut cereal, yeah? So do you say because the cereal is coated with honey, so the cereal is mukshal kabel tuma, even if you didn't, I don't know if they how they stick in the honey into honey nut Cheerios.
Not so much honey, then. I
just
put a whole
box of
honey
nuts
today. I think
it's
caramel sugar.
They have a picture of a beer.
It doesn't
fit
anything.
I'll
check it out when I get home.
I don't know.
So the intent of the producer, the maker,
right?
There's not much that going on.
If they make their own honey, yeah. So he's saying if it was going in.
Mm.
This is why you
don't
need a spoon.
Okay. Why?
Spoon, do you solve the problem?
If you use spoons, so we said, generally yes, there's a kaf achaim that says no. Even with a spoon. But I said dry cereal, because once it comes in contact with milk, so even though our milk is filled with water, but you know, milk and water have to... Yeah, the only question is what we have called milk. I don't think it's called milk, and I don't think it's called water, so maybe it's something else. Because they stick in a lot of water. I don't know, but I spoke to a dairy farmer. We once had a couple over at our house, and the girl told us she grew up on a farm in the Golan, and she started explaining to us how they have an exact time during pasteurization when you have to stick in the milk. It's like a known thing. They're sticking the water. It's a known thing that they're diluting all the milk they're selling you. They have to get a certain percentage of fat in the milk, and so not healthy, right?
Only 3% or whatever.
Right, you're 3%. You're right. Right. So she said, we asked her why doesn't that work. So she said, no, it's during the pasteurization. There's a specific time. I don't remember what she said. At a specific heat. That's when if you stick it in the water, that's when it forms together, and that's why your milk all doesn't look like milk with water. It doesn't taste like it either. But all the Russians that come here tell us that they haven't tasted milk since they left Russia.
I have a trick, sir. You freeze the bag of milk, and then all the water concentrates in the middle, and the milk that comes out is much more yellow and much tastier.
Okay.
You don't get as much milk out of it. And you end up with a frozen core in the middle of the bag. That's very
yellow.
Tasty.
Yellow milk.
What?
Yellow milk.
Yeah, it comes out pretty yellow because of the fat free whatever.
White milk. That's white.
Speaking of which, when the shochan says milk, it's like milk water.
Mei chalav.
Yeah. What is that?
I think over there that's what comes out when you make cheese. There's a lot of water that comes out. No, you lose a huge percentage of the milk. The what happens is it separates, and water, not really water. I think that's mechalav over there. Minei tigun shem tagnim bechema. If you put in a cheesecloth, it just drips and drips and drips and drips, and you lose a tremendous amount. You need a tremendous amount of milk to make a pound of cheese. I spoke to a cheese manufacturer. He told me a phenomenal number, and I don't remember it. But, yeah. Ninei tigun shem tagnin bechema. Different types of frying when you're going to fry in butter. Okay, so this is relevant to what? What do we fry in butter? Everything we fry in butter. You're, okay. What?
Meat.
Love it. Pancakes, so they have water in them, no? So that's what I was trying to think of an example of something that's... What?
Eggs.
Eggs, okay. So you're going to fry your eggs. lo mi vayik shachem akusha dazen shemashke alachema. We're not talking about where the butter is still solid and you're putting it on your egg. No, the chalav shnikpa ha-veochev lo mashke, because milk that's solidified is not considered a liquid. But even if you melted your butter on the popcorn, so now you have melted butter glistening over your popcorn. Now does that popcorn require washing your hands for it? Well, these are chumros. You don't have to wash your hands for your popcorn with melted butter on it. He says, butter is ordinarily solid. You're melting it to benefit the taste of your popcorn. So, being that now you've only melted it to improve the taste of the popcorn, so we say that if something was solid and you melted it to improve a solid, that's considered again like it went from solid to solid. That's we don't treat it as liquid, even though you melted the butter to make your eggs taste better or to make your
popcorn
taste better or melted cheese, right? Okay, doesn't matter. V'davka shlo nimocha achemat sheniach v'tocha ha'ochel v'techef bal teken ochel kol mishna asa mashke. But this is only good if you took a slab of butter and put it in your hot popcorn and it melted directly onto the popcorn. But if you took some butter and you put it in a frying pan and melted it, so now you have liquid butter. And then you're going to pour it all over your popcorn. So then, avlim nimocha mikodem nireli detzichnit la'idayim. Then I think he says you would have to wash your hands for it. Vayen ben shmat adam. And again, he goes off on this long explanation of proving from different mishnayos and taharos. If that works or doesn't work. Okay.
What's the big difference? Frying it and then pouring it? And then what he mentioned before?
Right. So then this would maybe give us an indication on how long the dvash. Meaning I'm not sure. We weren't sure when he said dvash is med, how long you could wait between the dvash and the med. Or the dvash and the mitigun. I don't know, but all this is chumras. No one does this. You ever see someone wash their hands for popcorn or eggs? Okay.
I try.
Okay.
I forget, like,
every single look around. You'll see no one else does. Yein sarav shenitarev b'mayim.
Maybe I do.
What happens if you have whiskey? You have, whiskey or some kind of liquor that got mixed with water. Lefim shekitav lekman b'chot pesach siman yud, afin nechbash b'tocho perot, kmo kirshin, v'chayetze b'ro. Mikol makom usafek imumei perot ayen sham kirshin. Kirshin are cherries. No, that's what's the name of that famous whiskey? What's it called? No, there's cherry, a famous name. Vichniak. I don't know. All the Hasidim drink Vichniak. What's Vichniak? It's cherry whiskey.
How does that connect with
the
Kirshen?
I don't know.
Kirshen is
good.
I know,
but he was talking about the Kirshen. Okay, no, because on the Vishniak it says Kirshen. Okay, and anyways. Okay, so if he's saying, based on what I wrote in the laws of Pesach, and people do this. You have a lot of people that after Sukkos, they take a bottle of vodka or alcohol, and they stick in their esrog, and then they have esrog liquor after a month or two. Just make sure bugs don't go off your esrog. Usually our esrog are clean of bugs. So at any rate, people do this. I've seen a lot of people do this. Buy alcohol, stick in fruits and whatever, and then you get fruit liquor after a month or two. You could do it in vodka, or you could do it if you go to the store. They sell today. A lot of people, so many people are doing it that they sell you alcohol, high content alcohol, to make your own liquors at home. It's more expensive than the liquors. It used to be. I don't know what it is today. It used to be more expensive than the liquors. So we used to do it with vodka. Same content alcohol. So he's saying, I wrote in Hilchos Pesach that even if you're going to put fruits inside, but we're not sure how you look at it, because it's true, all the juices are going to come out of your kirschen out of your cherries. But at the end of the day, the question is, how do you view this? Do you look at it as fruit juice mixed with vodka, mixed with water? Or do you say, no, I mixed this vodka with water, and now it all became a liquid, so then I'm going to have to wash before I deal with that. So even if you have a lot of water, he says, there's room to question. I guess they used to eat those fruits. Boy, you could get drunk on a fruit. The Gemara looks for a scenario where you could get drunk on a fruit. So the Gemara says, in their days, they had a devela ke'ilit. They had a type of fig, which I guess they do this trick on. They'd saturate it in alcohol, and then when they'd be traveling, how do you travel without alcohol? Never leave home without it, right? So they couldn't carry the alcohol with them, so they carry these figs that you just eat a fig and go drunk. So this was, the Gemara says that the Gemara searches for a way that you could get drunk on a food, because the Pasuk describes v'achalta, that you'll eat. The Pasuk describes rejoicing, which the Gemara understood involves a certain amount of alcohol, and then the Gemara says you'll eat. And then the rest of the Pasuk indicates alcohol. So the Gemara says, how do you have a food that has alcohol? The Gemara says, your grapes don't have alcohol. You're talking about a develaki leaf. But here we see they did this with their cherries and other stuff. They'd spike all their fruits, just let them sit in alcohol for 2 months, and then serve them to the guests. So he says, even if you have a lot of water in your whiskey, even so, there's room to question whether you have to wash your hands for it. He's not sure if you have to wash for those fruits. Okay, all these are chumros. What happens if you have kompot, you're cooking your fruits? So he says, being that you make a blessing of borei pri ha'etz on the juices, so that doesn't have the din of liquid, and I don't know what he's talking about. We'll see in Hilchos Brachos that there are scenarios where you could cook a fruit, and then it's going to adopt the Bar Priya 8. But
and
we're going
to see your fruits, right? It's really obvious.
There's more to discuss.
It's not always.
Yeah, I know that.
If you make a vegetable soup without any meat, so then technically the vegetable soup can be a Bar Priya Adama. It should be a Bar Priya Adama.
Yeah, that's because the vegetables are the ikar, but I'm talking about if you have the liquid on it.
So he's talking about a scenario where you took 30, 40 plums, put them in a pot, cooked them. You begin with a little bit of water, but then it's overwhelmingly plum juice in there. So then he says you make a Bar Priya Eitz on the juice. Now I'm not sure why. We're going to have to see why when we learn Hilchos Brachos. I'm not sure what he's talking about here. When you'd have a scenario where the plum juice is a Bar Priya Eitz. Look, I'm not sure what he's talking about. I don't want to invent. You know, there are a few different scenarios he could be referring to. We'll have to wait till we get there. On this, no. Not here. Right. So it could be he's referring to that. I don't want to say that until we get there, because you're right that technically, according to the halachos, the dry halacha, it's not clear why we don't make a Bar Priya Eitz on orange juice. It's not clear why we don't make a Bar Priya Eitz on chocolate. But all of that, instead of guessing, we'll wait till we get there.
Sorry, what did you say about chocolate?
I said that technically, it's not clar why we do not make a Borei Priya Eitz on chocolate and orange juice. When you learn the dry halacha, it would seem you should make a Borei Priya Eitz on chocolate and orange juice.